move. You've got to move. You've got to move. Now when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move. Oh, you've got to move. You've got to move.
Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. What a privilege it is. We just glad you're here. Most of all, we're glad the presence of the Lord is among us. I'm glad there's victory in the camp. There's a shout. The shout of the King is among us. Do you believe that with all your heart? The presence of the Lord. He comes and meets with us every service. Do you appreciate that? Are you glad for that? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. They threw old Paul. I was thinking about this verse, video. That's now happened to think about it. They threw old Paul in the Roman jail. He didn't have anybody to go his bail.
But when the Lord,
sing it, buddy,
he got ready.
Oh, yes, he did. Silas had to move. You've got to move. You've got to move.
You've got to move.
Oh, you've got to
move.
You've got to move. Now when the Lord gets ready, you've got to move.
You've got to move. You've got to move. They threw old Daniel in the lion's den.
Oh, yes, they did.
Because he would not bow down to man.
Oh, Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it? Why don't you shake somebody's hand, greet him in the name of the Lord, tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Play a little bit more of it, Brother Harry. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Hallelujah. God bless you, Brother Wade. God bless you, my brother. Good to see you. God bless you, brother. Appreciate you. Bless you, buddy. Appreciate you. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. I want to pray for Elise Horniak, who is recovering from a virus. We just pray that the Lord would be with her, give her a speedy recovery. Brother Reese says that he wants to praise the Lord for his cousin. His name is Ralph. He's doing very, very well, doing a whole lot better. The trach that they put in, he's in rehab, and he wants to thank all the prayers. All the saints for their prayers, for your praying. Also, there was a brother that had a double hernia that Brother Reese had turned in a prayer request in. He's at home recovering, wants to thank the Lord for touching him and you for praying. Here's a note that says, I have a special unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that situation. Whatever it would be, we'll just commit it to the Lord. Sister Linda sends this in to please pray for my grandson, Aaron Kennedy. He has a lot of things going on in his life, but needs prayer for his soul more than anything else. So we just wanted to remember that need tonight, that the Lord would be mindful of that young man. Sister Martha Ann says, Sister Jan Winters is in the intensive care unit at Sycamore Shoals Hospital. She has congestive heart failure, a very serious condition, along with other complications going on with this condition. She sends her love and appreciates all of your prayers. So we certainly will remember Sister Winters in prayer. She's just a lovely saint of the Lord that we appreciate her being part of this assembly. Brother Larry Elliott sends in this prayer request for Sister Brittany Elliott's grandfather, Cletus Burns. They've given him a week to live. He has cancer. So let's remember that need and that family as we pray. Brother Jerry Glenn says, please pray for my neighbor, Ken Simmons. He's in the Johnson City Medical Center with blood clots in his lungs and legs. So let's remember that prayer request tonight. I want to pray for Brother Greg, Sister Shirley Robbins. They're not feeling well, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's remember them as we pray. I want to remember Sister Gail Clark. She fell and just very shaken up, really needs prayer. So let's just pray that the Lord would touch our sister and be with her. Let her have a speedy recovery. This is just another prayer request for Sister Jan Winters in regard to her being in the hospital. I want to remember Sister Jane Terrell's aunt who is in the hospital. The doctors have given her 2 days to live. So let's pray for that situation. The Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord.
Sister Nadine Finch sends this in. I have a special unspoken prayer request for my son. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray. And we want to welcome to the service tonight Brother Jerry and Sister Sandy Visaki and their daughter Sarah. They attend Brother Harold Carroll's assembly down in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Where are you folks at tonight? Would you raise your hand? Right back here. Give them a nice hand tonight. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Certainly glad to have you back home with us. They used to attend this assembly many, many years ago and moved to Murfreesboro, and they're visiting with us here tonight in the service, so we're glad to have them. Are you glad you're a Christian tonight? Are you glad you're on the winning side? Are you glad you signed up with no regrets? Are you glad you're in this army and you're not looking back? Are you really glad about that tonight? Do you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this group to pray about? Could we stand tonight? I'm going to ask Brother Lenuel Yance. I want you to come and pray tonight, Brother Lenuel. I'm just looking outside today, mowing a little bit, looking at all the trees and all the things starting to turn green. And then I went to the barber shop, and as I sat in the chair, I seen gray hair falling everywhere. I said, Lord, there'll be another spring. But I guess that's better than no hair at all. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. I just throw that in. Here's the man that sings, there'll be another spring. Won't you sing it for us while you're up here?
I don't have a voice.
Well, I ain't got nothing to do with it.
D. D.
D.
Like in diagonal. D. In the spring of my life, everything was blooming pure and white. I run and play through fields of green. Now, listen to the robins.
You're going
to
be singing now or wait till I pray?
Then came the summer of my life. Lazy days and starry nights. Thought those days would never end. Then I felt that cool September wind. Now I've reached autumn, nights are getting cold. Trees are turning red and gold. It's hard for me to realize that I'm getting old. Seemed like only yesterday my hair. But I won't worry about these things. There'll be another spring. There'll be another spring. I'll be young again. 'Cause I believe the truth. I'll have eternal. There'll be another spring. I'll run again, I'll laugh and sing. In a place where time won't mean a thing. There'll be another spring. Won't that be a great time? You know, we come to church and every service we get nailed. Now, maybe you didn't know how to pray until Wednesday night. Now we don't have no excuse. They said, Jesus, how do we pray? He said, just say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Praise his holy name. Heavenly Father, we thank you. I wouldn't dare ask you for anything until I thanked you for everything. God, I owe you beyond anybody's wildest imagination. You couldn't come up with enough money to pay for my sins. But all you did was walk up that hill and die for me. I thank you for it. I love you, Lord. Thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you so much. Thy hallowed name. Praise thy holy name, O God. We give you praise. We owe you, Lord. Now I ask you, God, this request in my hands. I don't have to name them. Your prophet said the angels have taken down your request. We don't have to mention them one more time. They have been taken to the Father. All I can say is I believe, and his congregation says I believe, and we believe. And we know the thousands of things you've done here, you will do it again, Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Leniel. God bless you. Let's sing that little chorus together tonight. Here we are in your presence. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting with us tonight in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. All those that are streaming, pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Here we are in your presence, lifting holy hands to you. And here we are, we're praising Jesus for the things he's brought us through. I want you to sing it with all your heart now. Second verse now. Sing it with all your heart.
I never thought that it could be this way. I never thought I'd be the one.
Hallelujah.
Standing
in your
I want you to sing that chorus one more time with everything you got. Here we are. Oh, on Saturday night, standing here in the presence of Jehovah.
Lifting holy hands to you.
All hands that didn't used to be even worthy to be in the house of God.
We're praising
Jesus. Oh, yes, we are. For the things He's brought us through. If you love Him with all your heart, give Him a big hand clap of praise.
I'm going home with Jesus. I'm going home with Jesus. Amen. Let's sing just a little bit of this. Brother Fred Green, if you'd get ready to come to the platform and give us a song tonight. Let's sing just a little bit of this song tonight.
I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment and I may not know the day.
Brother Fred Green a nice hand tonight as he sings for us.
Pilate called for a basin of water, washed his hands to be free from his blame. But the wrong he had done, it still tormented many people are doing the same. Oh, you cannot find cleansing in water, for your guilt and your sin stain today. Only the blood has the power to wash sin away. Oh, how futile are mankind's inventions for healing a guilt-ridden soul. Oh, how vain are our means and our methods. They can't make a broken life whole. Oh, you cannot find cleansing in water, for your guilt and your sin stains today. Only the blood of Jesus has the power to wash sins away. Though your sins are as red now, like crimson, they'll be whiter than snow, you will see, if you come to this fountain for cleansing. Jesus opened on Calvary's tree. Oh, you cannot find cleansing in water, for your guilt and your sin stains today. Only the blood of Jesus has the power to wash sin away.
Amen. I seen Brother Bill Yount sitting back there just now out of the corner of my eye. Brother Bill, come up here real quickly. Sing us that song you sung the last time you was here, as if Brother Donnie gets ready to come and bring us the word tonight. Appreciate Brother Bill, don't we? Amen, buddy. Every time you see this guy right here, you're looking at a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. Amen. Love you, buddy. Sing us happy. Let's all stand with Brother Bill tonight.
I was trying to think what I sang last time I was here. So my capabilities are not back. Just had surgery all in my nose and stuff. And the doctor said when this is all healed up, well, my voice will clear up. And I'll use what I got till then. I guess I sang everything that happened to me. Okay. Whatever you paid in last time. When you get 70 years old, you can't remember nothing. Everything that happened to me that was good, God did. Christ's participation. Everything that's happened to me that was good, God did it. Oh, yes, He did it. Oh, yes, He did it. Oh, yes, God did it. Oh, yes, He did it. God did it. Oh, yes, He did it. Picked me up and He's turned me around. He placed my feet on message ground. Oh, yes, He did it. 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 Oh, yes, God did it. Yes, God did it. Yes, God did it. Thank me. Help me now. I said, everything that's happened to me, that was good, God did it. Oh, yes, He did it. Oh, yes, He did it. Oh, yes, He did it. Everything that's happened to me that was good, God did it. Oh, yes, he did it. Oh, yes, God did it. Yes, God did it. Yes, God did it. Oh, yes, he did it. Yes, God did it.
I broke.
He did do this to me. I tell everybody, this is the greatest blessing that's ever happened to me in my whole entire life. 3 years ago, God spoke to me and told me, get off the road. I didn't listen. I guess in 44 years I've traveled, I don't know how many million miles preaching over, all over America and overseas and everywhere else. And God said, stay at home with your church. I said, okay. And so I never stopped. Just kept going and going and going and going. And he said, I said, stop. But he brought me out of it. And I'm happy for that. So God bless y'all.
I'm glad when we don't listen or a little bit hard-headed or stubborn, whatever you want to call it, that the Lord don't throw us over in the trash heap and say, well, I think I'll find somebody better. First of all, he knows ain't nobody better no way. We're all from the same lump, you know. But so appreciate God's grace to us all, don't we? Been merciful to us to help us. John chapter 19, verse 7. I want to speak to you tonight on the powers that be. The powers that be. John chapter 19, verse 7. The setting is Pilate's hall. The Jews are falsely accusing Jesus. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. And when Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Where'd you come from? Tell me, where'd you come from? I want to know. But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? I want you to listen to this answer. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. You mean not from Rome? Not from the officials in Rome and from all the magistrates? And what's Jesus saying, that the power that Pilate has to crucify him come from above? Power to crucify Jesus was allowed from above? Just like the power to raise up against you whenever evil comes against you, it's allowed from above. Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin, which were the Jews. So the Jews sinned greater than Pilate. Let's read this verse again. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath a greater sin. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, we thank you tonight, Father, for this privilege that we have to come together and sit at the table of the great King. Dear Lord, we ask for your help tonight in this service. Father God, we believe that we're in the latter times, the times that have been spoken about for many thousands of years. Lord Jesus, may we as the people of the latter time find our place. Respond, react, and live according to the anointing that has been released to us for this day. And we truly believe, Father, that Satan cannot destroy us, annihilate us, wipe us off the face of the earth until that purpose in our lives has been accomplished. So he can roar, he can do whatever he wants to do, but ultimately you will have your way in our lives. Speak to us tonight, Father, from your word, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
amen,
with another big old strong,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let us read in Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and from here we'll take our soul. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You mean evil? Evil ones, he allows them to exist? Sure he does. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in the earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Now, this is the reason that Jesus, of course, one of the reasons that Jesus is identified or called as the image of God, the firstborn of God, because he makes known to us the image of God by his creative ability. So here Paul tells us that demons, dominions, thrones, powers, they are not self-existent. They did not come into existence on their own, but they were actually created. Now, they were not created evil, of course, we know, but they were created in a throne or a dominion or a position that God gave them. Now, let us read also, if you would, tonight in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 9. We looked a few weeks ago about the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar saw, which reflected four great Gentile kingdoms of the world, which began in 606 B.C. This would start the times of the Gentiles, or when the Gentile kingdoms would begin. It would begin in 606 B.C., and it would run right down through the church ages, right on to the very end, up to the Battle of Armageddon. Now watch, Daniel is going to see these very same powers in the form of vision, what he will also call a night vision or a dream. But God's going to show it to Daniel in a little bit different way. Under Nebuchadnezzar's dream, it was revealed under a metallurgical symbol, which was metals, gold and brass, silver and brass and iron. But Daniel's going to see it in the symbolism of power. Now it's going to be represented by beast. Watch him now. I beheld till thrones were cast down. Now watch how this can be interchangeably before we get to this vision in verse 1. And the Ancient of Days did sit. Now the word thrones here is superior princes or supernatural angels. So Daniel saw that there were thrones which were cast down, which of course was not the throne of God and not the throne of the saints of God, but it was thrones of the underworld. Thrones of principalities or dominions. So the thrones of the dominions of Satan will be upon the earth until the end time. Now let's watch into the vision now. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote his dream and told the sum of the matters. Now listen carefully. I know these things can be very troublesome and bothersome whenever you listen to them. It can be overwhelming, but listen, really, whenever you go to looking at the understanding of it, it's not near as complicated as we've made it over the years. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. Now, we know that winds represent war. And when winds would blow upon the earth, they are the winds of war. And the seas represented, seas and waters represent people. So here he's seeing
seeing is he opens up the vision now, and he sees that the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great seas. So wars are blowing upon the people or the seas. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from the other. Now here he sees as the vision unfolds into a further stage that there's beasts that actually come up out of the sea. So the beasts are coming up out of the thickness and the multitudes of people. Unlike the beast of Revelation 13:1, which came up out of the earth, which was, of course, the United States of America. Now it says four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. So here he sees these beasts, the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one, but they all come out of the seas. They're coming from different parts of the earth, but they're coming from the thickness and multitudes of people. Now watch how he describes the first beast. The first beast was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Now, you know, it's amazing that God would choose symbolism in a way to reveal Gentile powers. Now, this is exactly going to run parallel to the four things that Nebuchadnezzar's dreams show. Only it's another characteristics that are going to be displayed in the form of vision than what was given to him by dream. Now, in this makeup, you'll see it that by this, each one of these would be a representation of different characteristics, but speaking of the same kingdom. Now, what? This first was a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon as a feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, I wrote down some different copies, also some notes and some history that I thought might be beneficial for you to be able to read with me and hopefully make this a little bit more understandable to you. Now watch, as Daniel breaks into this vision, and the first thing that he sees is a peculiar looking beast that has the body of a lion. But on the back of the body of this lion, he's given wings. Now, as the vision progresses, he sees that the wings are actually plucked. And then in the symbolism, the beast stands up like a man. So we see then there are several things that are happening to this power. But remember, it is a power. And of course, it was the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar. The peculiarity of the first beast was that it had eagle's wings. So it is the combination of the lion, the king of beasts, and the eagle, which is the king of birds. And it corresponded to the royalty of the head of gold. Now it was typified that comes in this power. Now what is the beast power? It is a power of the anointing that is released upon this king or kings and kingdom. So you're the people of this kingdom will work under this power that's released to them. Now, this is the way that Nebuchadnezzar will conquer. This is the way Belshazzar, all the rest of these kings, and the people of Babylon, this is the way they will work and operate under this anointing. You understand? Now, it's going to give a similarity to the conquest of how the kingdom will be taken, and also how they will live and reign under this anointing. Oh, praise be to God. Now, watch this. What's going to happen as this lion will raise up? Then he has this symbolism not only of the lion's strength being the king of beasts, but he also merges into another symbolism of the king of birds. So he has the lion and the king also. So he's got eagle-like swiftness. Now the plucking of the wings referred to the beastly insanity of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that in his time of his life when he lost his mind. So Daniel sees that the wings are plucked, but then after that it enters into another stage to where that Nebuchadnezzar is lifted up and he's caused to stand on his feet as a man. To the restoration, of course, and the sanity when he come back to his kingdom. Now watch in verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second, like unto a bear. Now, all four of these are going to correlate and correspond exactly to the four things or the four stages of the image that Daniel saw and interpreted. starting off with gold, come on down to silver, on down to brass, on down to the iron and the clay. This was a symbolism of the character of the kingdoms, but this is going to show the anointing or the power that's going to rule these kingdoms. Now notice this next power. Behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear. Now, as the kingdoms degenerated from gold to silver to brass, and in value they went down, so watch the powers as it comes on these kingdoms. A second like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. Now notice, it is a bear, so it's going to represent also a power. It has great authority. It has the ability to tear and to rip and to be able to devour. But he is less than the lion. And he stands up kind of like this on one side. So one shoulder is standing higher than the other, which shows a supremacy in the kingdom. So there'll be a supremacy in the kingdom. Now, you know, it's strange that you and I would look at and think, wow, that is so strange and weird. Why in the world would God do it that way? That's just God's way. So here in the symbolism of this bear, one shoulder being raised a little bit higher than the other shoulder was a symbolism, and it meant something in the vision. Praise the Lord. Now, he sees a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth in between the teeth of it. So now here he moves from this vision of the lion, and he sees this vision of the bear coming. And when he does, this bear raises up, and one shoulder is standing there, and he's all grizzled as it was, one shoulder standing higher than the other, and he looks inside this bear's mouth, and there's three ribs. Now, why didn't God just spell this all out all plain? Because this is the way God deals with prophets. So if you want to think you know more about it than God, and you want to tell God how God ought to deal with prophets, then let me shake your hand, Mr. God. Or Miss God. But for me, I recognize I'm a dummy, and I recognize I need God's help. So I think I'll just stick with God's way. After all, he's the one who chose to do it this way. Does it make any sense to you? And of course not, but we just take him at his word and believe what he said. Now notice then, so the bear has three ribs in his mouth, in between the teeth, and they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. Now the bear, of course, is the strongest beast after the lion. It is distinguished for its breast. Now it can kill, it can destroy, it can maul. But it has none of the agility and majesty of the lion. It is awkward in its movements. Now watch how God chose a particular animal, and the way that animal would behave, its character, its actions would be a representation of the kingdoms that were to come hundreds and hundreds of years down the road. Now the lion would be able to stand and walk, and those of you that have ever seen one out in the wild, not in the Knoxville Zoo, but everybody seen one, he's got that air about him. That's how King knows he's the king. So he's got that air about him. But yet that symbolism would not represent every kingdom that's going to come upon the earth. So God chooses another one. Now the second one is going to be represented by a bear. It's going to be very strong. He's going to have the ability to rip and devour. But yet he's not princely. He doesn't move in a kingly, royal type of way. Just lumbers along and comes along. But remember, that is a symbolism of a power. You say, how in the world could them martyrs ever die back there and give their life? Because it was the anointing they were working under. You say, I could never do that. No, you could not now, because your anointing is the eagle anointing. We're not anointed to go to the chop block. We're not anointed to go in the Colosseum. We're anointed to fly. Praise the Lord. That's why we can't relate to it, because it's not the anointing that's been released to us. Yet our flesh gets afraid, and a little bit of press comes against us, or a little bit of persecution. What do we go, oh my, we'll never do it. Why? Because our anointing is not made up that way. That's not what we're anointed with. What do we think about rapture? What do we think about resurrection? What do we think about body change? Why? That's the anointing we're living under. Now watch, these are the characteristics of the Medo-Persian Empire. It was ponderous in its movements, did not gain its victories by bravery or skill, but overwhelmed its enemies by hurling vast masses of troops upon them. Now watch God symbolize this by the bulk and the body size of a bear. So here the bear comes lumbering along. What is he representing? He's representing the Medo-Persian Empire and the armies. Now look at some of this historical facts. Xerxes' expedition against Greece was undertaken with 2,500,000 fighting men, who with the camp followers made up an army of 5 million. Other Persian generals had armies running up into the hundreds of thousands of men. Now look how this bear represents their bulk. Their movements is not agile. Their movements is not sharply and prince and royal, but it's more bulky and rough. Those of you brothers, or maybe even some of you women, that's seen bears out, you know how they can be. And they're bulky moving. But it was an exact representation of what was needed to represent the Medo-Persian kingdom. It is easy to be seen that the movements of such an enormous body of men would devour much flesh. Now you imagine 5 million people moving through East Tennessee in a matter of weeks. They'd clean out your kitchens. They'd clean out your cupboards. There ain't no telling what they'd do. It looked like a bunch of bears had been through the time they come through. Now how God chooses to represent this, I just find it so amazing. Now watch the side of the bear which raised up to attack typified Persia. Now watch, one side raises up in which lay the greatest military strength. Now remember, it started out as the Medes and the Persians. So they called it the Medo-Persian kingdom. But it wasn't long into this to where it divided and the Medes basically lost their authority. And then it become into the Persians to where the Persian would now become the Persian kingdom. So here it is, the shoulder. Now that raises up high. It starts out the Medo-Persians. It starts out as one great move. But as it goes on in time, and year before they ever divided, hundreds of years before they ever divided, Daniel sees it in the vision and sees that one shoulder raise up high. Listen, friends, thus saith the Lord to prophets, does not fail. Bank your soul on it. God don't miss. That's right. So it corresponded to the right shoulder and arm of the image. Now watch, here is the right shoulder and the arm as it moves from Nebuchadnezzar, up here being the head of gold. Then it moves down into the silver kingdom and it moves into the Medo-Persian. Here is the right shoulder and the right shoulder raises up. Oh, glory. Which was the Persians. What is it? It's the anointing they're moving under. Now, you know, let me just be honest with you and tell you this. I don't understand how God, by prophecy, relates all of this to the world of demons and to the princes and the angels of Satan and how they know their part in the earth and in the atmosphere, what they know they're supposed to do. Now, I know prophetically that God will force, or he'll say things before they ever happen, and God may let Satan and his demons know. Now, remember, I don't think God has a council with Satan and he says, okay, now this is what we're going to do. I'm going to do this and this, and I'll let you do that and that, and then you're going to do this and I'll do that and that. But somehow God let Satan be able to get into a preview. This was prophetically uttered and Satan hearing it and God allowing Satan then to pick this demon for Persia, this demon for Greece and this one for that and that one for that. And then they move. But over it all, remember, no matter how much Satan wanted the Medo-Persians to run the entire world forever, God said, oh no, you've got an allocation of time that you run up so far. And whenever I say it's over, it's over. And then when that kingdom gets done and I say it's over, it's over. So there is a divine providence that goes over the whole thing. Oh my, I'm so glad even in the trials of our life and the things that we go through, that the devil may want to prolong it and do this and that. Aren't you glad you've got a loving father over the top of all them things that say, oh no, devil, back off. Back off, devil. No more trials for a while. Now watch this, corresponding to the right shoulder and the arm of the image of gold. The three ribs stood for the three kingdoms of Lydia, Babylon, and Egypt, which formed a triple alliance to check the Medo-Persian power, but were all destroyed by it. Now can you imagine then three ribs were three nations? So they're in the mouth of the bear before they ever determined to do one thing. God saw what their end would be. before they ever had a king to decide to do this, oh my, before they ever made their plan, well, we'll do this and we'll rally and we'll defeat the Medo-Persian, we'll do it. God said, no, you won't. The bear's going to eat you. The bear's going to eat you. Now watch, he moves into another power. Verse 6. And after this I beheld another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now he moves to something even smaller as far as body size. So you come from the lion, you come to the bear, now you come to the leopard. Those of you that know much about leopards know they weigh 120 to 160 would be a great big leopard. Don't see them much except at night. All the times I've been in Africa, I've seen one in the wild. Move very stealthily, very quietly, pretty much at night. And yet this is going to be the symbol of Alexander the Great. This is going to be the force which he's going to move under. Now in this, it has the body of a leopard, but it also has wings on its back. And then it's a very peculiar looking leopard because it has four heads. Wow. So he's got four heads, the body of a leopard, and he's got wings on his back. Now watch this. So the leopard is the most agile and graceful of creatures, but his speed is here still further assisted by wings. Now it's very fast. It cannot go, you know, for long bursts, but it can go very, very fast. And yet it moves. So its speed, here its body's coming, but it's also assisted now by its speed with wings being on its back. What is it? It's an anointing. It's a culmination of anointing. Each one of these symbols represents a coming together of an anointing by which these kingdoms are going to be raised. Slight in its frame, but strong, swift, and fierce. Its characteristics render it a fitting symbol of the rapid conquest of the Greeks under Alexander the Great, who, followed by small, well-equipped, and splendidly brave armies, moved with great celerity in 10 years, overthrew the forces of Persia and subdued the whole civilized world. How could he do it? He's working under this leopard. He's working under this leopard. And they're releasing an anointing. Now what is the culmination of this leopard? It is demon spirits. It is fallen angels coming together. And they are anointing this army. And they could move as one great thing. And they must have looked at themselves and said, wow, what great things we have done. Take that leopard anointing off of them. What could they do? They could still kill, they could still mutilate, but they could not do it with the fierceness, they could not do it with the strength. No way! Take the eagle anointing off of you, you'd be a flop. Take the eagle anointing off of me, there ain't no way we could stand in this day. I don't want to try it myself with that, do you? Now watch, the four wings of a fowl indicators a fowl does not fly high. The armies of Alexander were fitted mainly for lowland flying. Now here he's coming with these four wings. Boy, they are moving, but they just ain't going very high. The four heads of the leopard represent the four kingdoms into which the empire of Alexander was divided by his generals, namely Egypt, Syria, Thrace, and Macedonia. From BC 323 to BC 30, there was no worldwide kingdom, there being this break or the parenthesis between the Medo-Persian and the Roman Empire. Now watch what John and Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar and Ezekiel, what they're seeing is the symbolism of the Gentile kingdoms that'll run right to the end. Now watch in verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Iron teeth. Wasn't there something iron in the image that Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar saw? Toes. So this is the teeth and a toe guy. Notice this. It had great iron teeth, and it devoured and break in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Now watch, he says, I saw in the night vision a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Well, Daniel, what's it look like? Is it a bear? Is it a lion? What is it, Daniel? Daniel said, it's so different. You understand what this fourth one was? He's the culmination of all the other three put together. So he has a symbolism of lion, symbolism of an eagle, symbolism of the wings, symbolism of the leopard, symbolism of the man. He has all of this. What is he? He's that death, that pale horse rider. Remember four. You're off the broken type then. The fourth beast was unlike any beast that Daniel had seen or heard about. It was dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and break in pieces. And you can imagine an animal and a representation of having iron teeth. What could stand in its way? What flesh, whether it was animal or human, what flesh, even what many other things aside flesh, would ever be able to withstand iron teeth? Lord Jesus. The fact that the fourth beast had iron teeth and that there are 10 horns on its head, the iron corresponding to the iron limbs and the 10 horns to the 10 toes on the image. Now Daniel is so moved. He looks at this image. He's trying to figure it out. In verse 8 he said, I considered the horns. Now he looks at the eyes and the paws and everything, and then his focus. He said, I considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great words. Yep, here we go, saints. Brother Donnie, you're going to keep on. You're going to get what? Get in a new body? Get in a rapture? Look, friends, if you think I'm going to stop preaching because folks put my name in the paper and put our video on YouTube, you can forget it. If it's ever a time to cry, it's now. Now what? So Daniel is so focusing and saying, what is those horns? What do they mean? What do they represent? As Daniel considered the 10 horns, he was amazed when he looks and he sees a little horn. One come up from among them before there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, that is destroyed. As he examined the little horn more closely, he noticed it had the eyes like the eyes of a man and the mouth of a man speaking great things. Now notice in verse 11, I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake. And I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body was destroyed and given to the burning flame. Oh my. Notice this now. Daniel looking and thinking, my, what in the world is going on with all these powers? And he keeps focusing. And concerning the rest of the beasts that had their dominion taken away, yet their lives are prolonged for a season. But before Daniel could even ask for an explanation, praise be to God. Amen. Notice what happens to him. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory. Notice where he places this reign of the little horn. Right before the millennium. People have tried to make the little horn Antiochus Epiphanes. They've tried to make him this and that and the other one. Don't you believe a word of it. This little horn is the Antichrist. And he appears and disappears right before the millennium. Notice, after the reign of the little horn, Then Daniel sees Christ. Amen. And thou hast given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. Listen, church, I'm talking about you and your Lord. And his kingdom which shall not be destroyed. Now hear these visions, you imagine as he goes into the horns and then he goes from the three horns, the four horns, and he goes to the little horn. And then before he can even ask for the interpretation, the vision breaks on earth and he sees the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days. And he sees thrones cast down, dominions cast down, powers cast down. Verse 15. And I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts which are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Four beasts, four kings. Now remember, kings is interchangeably with kingdoms. The little horn, though, is what troubles Daniel so much. Because the scripture goes on to say, he will make war with the saints. And he will wear out the saints. And he will trouble Daniel's people. So you're prophetically, Daniel knows this little horn is the one that's going to cause his people so much trouble. Oh my. Notice in verse 18, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom. Notice, it ain't going to be given to them necessarily. They're going to take it. Saints, you better get your taking clothes on. You better get your taken thoughts on. You better get your taken mentality. You better get your taken attitude. Come on. Don't come to church just for a dumping out attitude. Well, God's going to dump it out on me. God's going to dump it. Oh, you better come say the kingdom of heaven is preached and every man presseth his way into it. Amen. I'm going to church tonight and I'm not just going to look for God to dump it out. I'm going to take a blessing from the devil. I'm going to take my peace back. I'm going to take my joy back. I'm going to claim my children. They're not going to hell. There won't be one hoof left behind. Praise the Lord. It's up to you. You want to take it? Oh, glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. As we looked at it Wednesday night, to the second ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Now remember, he still doesn't know. There's no bear mentioned, no lion mentioned, no leopard mentioned. The fourth beast is enshrouded in mystery. This is who she is. Mystery. I would know the truth of the fourth beast. I would too. Since it's under its dominion that I live. The head of gold, that's wonderful to know about it. That's past tense. The arms of silver, that's wonderful. That's good to know. It's knowledge. But that ain't what I'm fighting. The brass is not what I'm fighting. Come on. It moving on down from the iron into the eastern and western Roman Empire, that's not where I'm at. I'm down here at the feet. I'm down here at the feet. I need to know what this kingdom is. If it's alive and on the earth today, I want to know what it is. Because I don't want to get on its side. I don't want to be on the wrong side of this warfare. Because when this stone comes, he's going to crush this thing. And if I'm identified in that image, I'm going to be in a mess of trouble. So if it's here, I want to know where it's at so I can run from it. I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all others. Exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, breaking pieces and stamped He's so powerful. This image was so powerful that he took his feet and stomped and stomped and stomped people. He was not using just so much his teeth. He wasn't using the wings on his back, but his feet. Lord Jesus. Verse 20, and of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other one which came up, before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes, Daniel said, I want to know. I want to know what that is. I know I'll be gone. I know it don't even pertain to me, but it pertains to my people. What kind of pastor would I be if I know there is a kingdom out here in evil? And I would hide from you the characteristics to look for. Because I want to be politically correct. Forget politically correct. Come on, saints. Hallelujah. Notice this, verse 21. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints. Not the other horns. But the horn that had the eyes. He makes war with the saints. And he's allowed to prevail against them. Why? It's the powers that are. The powers that are ordained of God to be. No matter how much the saints pray and war against it in the tribulation period, they'll never overcome him in the sense of him taking their life. Why? It's already spoken. If you want to be a child of God on a fiery bed of ease, you're wasting your time praying that way. It's already been spoken. You're going to have a difficult time sometimes. You're going to have sickness and trouble and heartache, right? So no matter how much you pray to go the other way, you might as well just accept what the word says. Now watch. Daniel says that this little horn, the same horn, made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints. Oh, Lord have mercy. Judgment was given to the saints. You mean the saints of God are going to judge? Absolutely right. Until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Daniel, listen. It's in the latter time. In the end, when this horn will raise, eyes will come upon this horn. And he will have a mouth that, boy, he can make videos and speak to people and they just, ooh, and oh, what a peacemaker. How deceived you are. Revelation 13:1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And remember, sea is thickness and multitudes of people. Having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns were 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. Not names, but name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. Oh my goodness, and we just read this somewhere? Haven't we just read these powers and symbols somewhere? Why, Daniel and John seeing the same thing. Now watch John as he explains it just a little bit more than Daniel was able to do. He says, I saw a beast rise up. It's got 7 head, 10 horns, crowns upon the horns. And he said, the beast which I saw, he was like unto a leopard. So he was similar to a leopard. And he had a feet of a bear. And his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Okay, so here is a power, the little horn, which will rise in the last days, that will be given a mouth and eyes And the dragon, which is the devil, will give him his seat and power and authority.
But you can have no power over me except it were given to you from above. Praise the Lord. Oh my. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. Don't you tell me this is not important. Don't you tell me that this don't need to be preached. Don't you tell me, my friend, this does not need to be recognized. If all the world is going to wonder after the beast, God help us that we're warned. Now watch what's happening here. This great image that Daniel sees and John sees. One of his heads was wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. So what is it? He has a resurrection. So it dies. The pagan part dies. And the papal part is raised. So Jesus died and was raised the living Son of God. It dies from pagan and raises to what? Son of perdition. Come on now. Oh my. And then what they will do, they wonder after the beast and they worship the dragon. Now notice they worship the dragon, which is what he's wanted all along. So he gives his power to the image of the beast. And something happens to the image of the beast and the people say, oh my, oh my. And then they do what? They don't worship so much the beast, the man himself, but they worship the dragon behind the man. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Holy Father.
Longer I go, quieter some of y'all get. They've done seen your car, and these brothers have done took your picture on this video. You might as well say amen. Oh my. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast. And they worship the beast. Wow. So they worship the dragon, which is the devil. And then they come. Oh my. Oh, Holy Father. Saying, who? Who? Now who, of course, is a pronoun which identifies a person. So this can't be a computer. It's got to be a person. Who is like unto the Pope? I mean the beast. Who is able to make war with him? Not a machine, not a button, not a computer, a person! And there was given unto him a mouth. Everybody's got one. But to some, they have a mouse in a mouse. Do you understand that's the difference in preachers and laity? Everybody's got a mouse. But preachers have a mouse in a mouse. It's the ability to speak things of God. That's what makes them different. It's not that they're different themselves. God gives them a mouth. Look at this here, what happens to him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, 3.5 years. And he opened his mouth and blasphemy against God. To blaspheme his name. And the prophet said they blasphemed his name by giving him 3 titles. And his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. How did they blaspheme them? Made them intercessors. You blaspheme Peter when you pray to him. You blaspheme Mary when you pray to her. Now watch, he breaks into the same understanding that Daniel did, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, this is not the bride. Because the bride's already gone. But the saint view has changed now. Now you're the saints. By this time, it's the 144,000. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Power was given him over all of it. You can have no power over me except that we're given. I'll tell you, friends, sometimes we make the devil so powerful. The devil can do this and the devil can do that. I wonder how much he can do, really. He could not do this if God did not allow it. He could not do this if the providence of God did not allow it to be thus. All they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now what? So you agree with me then that Daniel and John saw exactly the same things. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 7 verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms and shall devour the whole earth. Look, friends, Alexander did not devour the whole earth. He didn't come to the United States of America. There was no United States as far as then as a nation. He did not go to Russia. He did not go to many known parts of the world. He never went to the islands. He went to the known world. But this fourth one goes to every nation. Shall devour the whole earth and it shall tread down and break it in pieces. Now, we as message people believe and hold on to that this is the Catholic Church. But where do we get this idea? Is this something that Brother Branham come up with himself? Was Brother Branham a self-made prophet? Or is this a teaching which has been around for literally hundreds and hundreds of years? I will not read to you any quotes, but let me read to you from historians and from preachers and from theologians who preached and wrote in the 1600s, 1700s. Amen. Butler said this, this is God's way of describing the Roman Empire. Of course, men have described the Roman Empire in far more glamorous terms, but God sees the heart and says the Roman Empire in character was hideous. Amen, Brother Butler. Ironside said, I have represented this beast as having a composite character. Now listen, friends, sometimes we want to make these people behind us as idiots and people that didn't know us. And remember, the seventh angel was sent to gather the loose ends. If you would have time, the way I have time, to sit down and study Larkin and Ironside and Butler and all of these men that have lived down through hundreds of years, you would find out your message is full of stuff that they preached and believed hundreds of years ago. And the prophet of God was sent to gather loose ends. This message did not originate in Kentucky. This message did not come from a man who wanted to make something out of himself. It is the gathering of truth. And the gathering of truth is to gather a people for the bride, for the rapture. Oh my. Look, listen the way Ironside said this. I have represented this beast as having a composite character. For I take it that it correlates to the beast described in Revelation 13 as the head of a lion, the body of a leopard, the feet of a bear, thus including itself the chief features of all the kingdoms pictured by the other beasts. It was the boast of the Romans that they never destroyed a civilization when they conquered the people. They took from it everything of merit and combining it all into one produced the greatest civilization the world had ever known. Can't you see what they're going to do spiritually? Are they going to get the Pentecostals to quit shouting and jerking and speaking in tongues? Are they going to get the Pentecostals to bow down and kiss the ring? They know better than that. But they'll try to embrace them all together. Under what? Under them all believing the same thing? Under ecumenicalism. And they will do it. They will do it. Except there'll be some that'll come out. No doubt there's some good old Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, Presbyterian, whatever more that you rub shoulders with every day. And before it ever goes into him, they will come out of that thing and say, I ain't going into that. There's some why, because there will be a multitude that comes out of the tribulation period. Oh my. Notice, Ironside goes on to say, the course of this last beast has not yet been fully run. In the book of Revelation, described as having seven heads, one which was wounded to death and afterwards healed. The seven heads are said to be seven kings or seven forms of government. In John's day, five had already passed away. The sixth, or the imperial form, was in existence. The seventh had not yet come. John Gill, 1600s. The fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom on earth, which shows that the angel by four kings meant four kingdoms that should successively arise in the earth, and out of it is the Roman Empire. What are you doing, Brother Donnie? Smiling for YouTube. Here I am once again, YouTube. Go ahead and put me on YouTube. It may backfire like the last time. There's been some folks that's embraced the message since the last YouTube episode. Do it again. God will make it work for our good. He promised it. Well, glory. Not only that, some of you have been asleep for 4 or 5 years, finally woke up and said, wow, I better wake up. Maybe it's later than I thought it was. Praise the Lord. Remember, Freeman, that press comes against this bride. It may not last but days. It may not last but weeks. It may not last but a month and she'll be gone. You better get ready. You better get ready. This power is on the earth right now, tonight. Notice as John Gill goes on to say, which shall be diverse from all other kingdoms, for the kingdoms and monarchies that were before it, particularly as a kingdom in its form of government, both began with pagan and papal, shall devour the whole earth and tread it down, not the whole land of Judea only, some read and interpret it, but the whole world, which the Romans became master of. Now remember, this ain't too long after Luther. He could have lost his head for this. And unlike some of our message coward preachers who want to stand in their little corner of their little world and preach to 20 people and then call me and tell me maybe I should come off the internet. Praise the Lord. Hey, I don't know where you all stand, but I am still a Protestant. I still protest the Catholic Church. I am not a Catholic. I still protest the Pope. I still protest their teachings of dogma. Woo! I'm and I ain't the only one. There not only be some wise virgins that'll protest it, there'll be some of these foolish ones. I ain't swallowing that bunch of mess. I don't believe that stuff. I ain't going into that. Thank God for them. They'll be saved too. If they can do it, what about some of you message folks that are scared to death to say amen? Watch this. The Romans became masters of, and the phrase is used to note destruction and dissolution they made. Just listen. Whenever they carried their arms and the cruelty and tyranny they exercised, vast profusion of blood made by them, both among the heathens they subdued and the Christians they persecuted. Then these folks who are persecuting message believers, what anointing are they under? It ain't the Spirit of God, because elect, don't persecute elect. Listen to this, Phineas Dick said, the whole earth here means the Roman Empire. The civilized world at that time. Yeah. Whoo! Praise the Lord, Brother Dake. Amen. Daniel 7:24, and the 10 horns out of his kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise. And another one shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first. And he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. and shall wear out the saints of the Most High. And think to change the times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and a dividing of time. 3.5 years. I love this because God already says when it's going to start and he says when it's going to end. So it ain't like the devil's just on free reign to do whatever he wants. The devil ain't nothing but a biting mad dog, but he's on a chain. Oh man, he can jump to the end of that chain, and I mean he's big in size seemingly, and boy, he can, he wants to hide that chain from you, but if you know your word, you look right and say, right there's a collar of divine providence around your old neck, boy, and you can only do so much. So what you want to do is just figure out where the length of the chain is and back off and pawn him. You're going to hell. You're going to perish. You're going to die. You had a beginning. You're going to have an end. I never did. I'll never die. I'm part of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him bark. Let him do whatever he wants to do. But I ain't on no chain no more. I've been set free. Hallelujah. I've been set free from my chains. Verse 26, the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Isn't this amazing? A while ago he said they're going to take it. Now they're going to be given to them. Don't you understand? That's you and him, your buddies. You're doing your part, he's doing his. You're taking, he's giving. Well, if he's giving, I'm taking. Well, God says to me, if Donnie's taking, I'm giving. And I'm saying back to God, if you're giving, I'm taking. And God said, if you're taking, I'm giving. I said, all right, God, if you're giving, I'm taking. It don't ever stop. It don't ever end. All I give to him, oh, hallelujah. Everything I take back from the devil, God said, that's my boy. Everything he takes back, I'll give him more. Everything God gives me, I take more. Everything I take, God gives me more. I'm really sorry, friends, that some of you folks just got enough religion to make you miserable. I'm saved. I'm a Christian.
That old devil. Bless his holy name.
You ought not even really be on speaking terms with that sorry outfit. Don't argue with him. Don't debate with him. Tell him where you stand and go on. Brother Donnie tries to make me sick. Sure he does. Try to depress me. Sure he does. But remember that dog. And the closer you get, if you get close enough, he can bite you. Come on. This is what your Bible says. The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. Amen. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters. Barnes said it this way. It is expressly said that this woman is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. That is, as I suppose, papal Rome. And the design here is to represent her as resembling an abandoned female. Fit representative of an apostate, corrupt, unfaithful church. Burkett said, a whore is a person married to an husband who afterwards proves false to his bed. The papal present church of Rome deserves this name. my brothers in arms. I said, my brothers in arms. Having been guilty of the greatest defection and apostasy from the true evangelical doctrine and worship that was ever in the world, she is deservedly also called the great whore. And how can people join it? When John looks at her, she has in her hand a cup. And it's not full of wine. It ain't got Pepsi and hot chocolate in it. It's got the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And people are going to forget all that and leave all that. That kingdom is not destroyed in this Laodicean age by people. Well, we're sorry. We repent. They don't repent. This kingdom must be annihilated by Jesus Christ, not by ecumenical agreement. This kingdom will not be destroyed until Armageddon. Darby said there was a woman, a religious system, sitting on an imperial beast full of names of blasphemy, having the form which marked it Roman. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Burkett said, the woman here is the same with her that was called the whore. Verse 1, namely, idolatrous Rome. She is represented as a woman richly and splendidly arrayed, and her wealth and riches with her pomp and power enticing the world to her idolatry. Caused so often whoredom and spiritual fornication, and the golden cup in her hand is an allusion to harlots who with their pilfers and their enchanted cups allure and provoke men to sensual satisfaction. This was a custom of old-fashioned harlots. That they had a brew of a mix, and it would mix herbs and all different kinds of things, and they would give it to these men. Why? They wanted repeat customers. So they wanted to leave them in a sensual, ecstatic type of state. And can't you see this whore of this Roman Catholic Church is handing out her cup? Ah, she wants repeat people. And what does she do even in her communion? When they come up and take the communion, what does she do? She holds out her cup. I don't want her filthy cup. Bunch of filth. Do you? You want to press your holy lips and drink the blood of Peter. You want to press your lips against the cup and drink the blood of Paul. Now lastly, the name written on her forehead, to wit, Mystery Babylon the Great. That is not literal, but mystical Babylon. The great city of Rome, he says. The mother of idolatry, the pattern of cruelty, the patroness of all impiety. Propagating all these by her power and policies. Who calls herself the Mother Church. But indeed, is the mother of harlots. And all manner of abominations, that is, abominable doctrines and practices. Clark said, no doubt can now be entertained that this woman is the Latin church. For she sits upon the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns, which has been already proved to be the Latin empire, because this empire alone contains the number 666. This is a representation of the Latin church in her high state of anti-Christian prosperity. For she sits upon the scarlet-colored beast, a striking emblem of her complete domination over the secular Latin empire. Koch said, a woman sitting upon a beast, it is lively and significant emblem of a church or city directing and governing an empire. In painting, listen, in painting and sculpture, as well as in prophetic language, cities are often represented in the form of women. Well, Rome itself is exhibited in ancient coins as a woman sitting upon a lion. John Gill said, the beast is the same with that of Revelation 13:1, as the description shows. So there is no other than the Roman Empire as papal. The scarlet color is expressive of imperial dignity. Its power and authority it received from the dragon. Also of the beast's cruelty and tyranny. Of his shedding of the blood of saints. The woman setting upon the great city of Rome. As is manifest from Revelation 17, 18. Or the Romish Antichrist. The apostate church of Rome represented by a woman. The woman designs the Roman church, the Romish church, with the Pope at the head of it. Woo! And remember, when this has been written, you could have your head cut off for saying it. Thank God for people that stood for the truth. Oh my. Exalted in the manner as been moreover as purple and scarlet are the colors of the garments worn by the Pope and the cardinals. Hawker said, as all the characters she had given to this woman and descriptive of Rome and the Pope, impossible to be applied to any other. The scarlet colored beast implies a regal power. Amen. So you mean Brother Branham was the one who come up with all this? No, you knothead. Not you, but I mean knotheads that think that. Chapter 17, verse 4, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of fornication. Barnes said, in filthiness of her fornication, the image here is that of papal Rome, represented as an abandoned woman in gorgeous attire, alluring by her arts the nations of the earth and seducing them into all kinds of pollution and abomination. It is a most remarkable fact that the papacy, in divining to furnish a fulfillment of this prophecy, has chosen to represent itself precisely in the same manner as a female extending an alluring cup to passers-by. Apostate churches, guilty nations, ought to furnish the very proofs necessary to confirm the truth of the scriptures. Coke said the woman arrayed in skin purple and scarlet, this being the color of popes and cardinals, as well as emperors and senators of Rome. Nay, the mules and horses which carry the popes and cardinals are covered with scarlet cloths, so that they may properly be said to ride upon a scarlet colored beast. But my camel don't have a scarlet blanket. I ain't on a donkey. A mule is a pretty good thing for a pope, I figure, since both is hybrids. Jesus wasn't riding on no mule. He was riding on a horse. The saints of God wasn't riding on no mule. Remember I told you the years ago, whenever I went out to Colorado and they ran out of good horses, so they had to stick me on a mule. That old mule's name was Zombie. Old Zombie had a mind of his own. I think part of the time he thought like his daddy, and part of the time he thought like his mommy, and part of the time he didn't know what he thought like. I'll tell you what, I had the awfulest time as old Zombie ever was, and Brother Charlie Cox was sticking right around by me, and he got the biggest kick out. We'd come to a mud hole, and Zombie wouldn't go. I said, come on, Zombie, come on, Zombie. Brother Charlie back her hole in his sides because of old Zombie. All of a sudden, old Zombie would jump across her, and I'd nearly jump off of his back. Don't you realize? It's a hybrid. All the rest of them have good old horses and they'd ride around and they'd go this way and that way, but I was on the back of this old beast. Let me tell you something, friend. I ain't riding no scarlet colored mule. I ain't riding no porcupine. I ain't riding nothing like that. I'm riding on the back of a camel. Hallelujah. That camel was brought by a prophet of God in the last day to open the impact of those seven seals to release the power to you to ride you back home on. If I get shot for this, don't cry at my funeral shout. Because I've laid my cross down. I've crossed over. I'm so proud to be identified with truth. Man. I'm so proud to be identified with the truth. These are my brothers.
Many of these men, they walked to everything. They have everything right. Of course they didn't. If they had it right, you wouldn't need a prophet to gather the loose ends. They didn't have water baptism right. Many of them didn't have Godhead right, but there's a lot of things they had right. Why? The working under the man anointing. Things they can look in and study the Latin, study the Greek, study this and think, wow, where did they get that at? And yet baptizing titles. It was the anointing they were working under. But you know what? They're waiting on you and me. John Gill and Burkett and all these other men that's been dead for hundreds and hundreds of years, and Spurgeon, a lot of them. Will they be there, Brother Donnie? Oh yes, many of them will be there. Why? They walked in that word. They stood for that word. They risked their life, Brother Skip. They risked their life to stand there. You imagine many of those men when it was death, absolute death to defy the Catholic Church? Whenever they wrote these things, there was an edict against them. They could be killed. But they stood for truth. They stood for truth. Praise God. They're waiting on us, saints. They're waiting on us. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, you would help us that we'll be faithful. How many of them, Lord God, suffered loss of their life, as we'd say. Dear God, when the Catholic Church tried to steal every one of them that made a Bible and they'd burn them, and they'd burn Martin Luther's books, made it against the law to even have them. Satan used politics to try to shut him up. But thank God you had a man in politics too. Wealthy sort of a guy, famous fella. He sent some riders by night. And they captured Luther and they brought him and hid him away. Praise be to God. You'll watch out for your own, Lord. Until it's time for them to leave. And once it's time for us to leave, we're ready to leave anyhow. Help us, Lord God. Help us that we'll stand. Lord, we got to be honest when things presses against us. The old flesh don't like it. It might scare us and stir up a little fear. Because we're not anointed to go that way. If we was under that ox anointing, I'd be standing here tonight preaching martyrdom. These saints would walk out of this building with such courage in their heart. Roman soldiers are standing outside there with chop blocks laid. All right, we'll start with the preacher first. The deacons, the trustees, we'll work our way down to the last living child. No doubt there'd be some that'd sneak out the back door, break out a window. And they'd say, I don't believe that stuff. I'm getting away from there. But the real ones would walk right there like gallant men and women. Was their flesh afraid? No doubt it was. No doubt it was. But I imagine there was an overwhelming something that came over them. As Paul must have walked up there and just laid his head down, being a Roman citizen. There's one death. That was to be beheaded. He must have walked down there and lay his head down. Oh my, maybe a smile come over his face. Like a baby laying its head in the lap of its mother. Glory to God. In an instant, it was gone. Paul moved into that body that he talked about in 2 Corinthians. They were anointed, Lord. That was the power that was sent to them. Lord Jesus, help us under this eagle anointing, Lord. Help us not to get bound down with Laodicea. Help us not to get bound down with worldlyism. Help us not to get bound down with all these chipmunks that's left the message and chatter, 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 chatter. Help us to rise above them chipmunks. That's all they are anyway. They never had a real revelation of this message. They couldn't have. How could they lift a real revelation of this word and went back to the trash of the world and the nonsense of the world? There ain't no way. Lord, help us to rise above all this YouTube stuff and all this forum over here and this forum over there. We've got a forum we're interested in. It's the form of the image of the living God. It's not a forum of man. It's the form of God that we're trying to be conformed to. Help us, Lord Jesus. May we rise as that eagle and that blow down. Lord, the prophet said he saw him in that little old pine squirrel sitting there chatter, 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 chatter. He said in a minute that big eagle got tired of it. He just took one jump and set his wings in the wind. Lord God, I'm under great expectation because I know every time your people suffer some persecution, you always raise them higher. I'm looking for another elevation here, Lord. Lord, I hear there's different people from different groups that's suffering because of these people and things that they're saying. Praise God. That means we're fixing to take another step higher here a little bit. And it won't be long, Lord. We're going to take another step where we're going to be like Enoch. We're going to step right out of this world into that new world, into your home.
Oh, grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, I pray. Father, these powers were so predetermined. If the raising of a shoulder on the right side would show the dominant side of a kingdom. Three ribs and a bear's mouth. And it would already be predetermined, no matter how many men, how many captains, how many great leaders those ribs had, they were going to lose that battle. Then if they could work under their anointing, what about us? Lord Jesus, that flying eagle. Praise be to God. Then, Lord, we don't look for a hole in the ground like a ground squirrel. We're not rabbits to where we look for burrows under a tree. We're not groundhogs. We're eagles. We're eagles. So when we come to church, it ain't no wonder we look to soar in heavenly places. We're eagles. Lord, when we're weary and we're down, we look to be raised up because we're eagles. Praise God. Would you come by this way tonight, Lord God? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Visit us, I pray, Lord, with a refreshing of this anointing that's been sent to us in this evil day. Let people blast it. Let them run it down. Let them talk. Let them do whatever they want to do. But here we are going right back across that desert on that camel train. Listen to the stories of our Eliezer. Falling more in love with him. Getting more ready to leave this world every day. Then we checked again tonight to make sure. And there ain't no scarlet color on this camel we're on. We're heading right back into the presence of our blessed Lord. Where we come from before the foundation of the world. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Father, with all these things being said, we hate no one. We despise no one. Oh, how we wish everyone's eyes could be open. Everyone could see the truth. But we know many of them will never do it. I don't care if you'd show it to them 1,000 years and show it to them 10,000 times a day. They'll never do it. I'm just so grateful I was willing, Lord. I was willing. When you come knocking on my door, I was willing. Praise be to God. Oh, praise be to God. Can we just raise our hands now in the presence of the King? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Look, friends, when it come time for the head of gold, his reign to cease, it's going to stop exactly on the day, the month, the week, and the hour that God determined. When it's time for the Medo-Persian kingdom, the reign to stop, it will stop exactly with where God intends. It'll come right on down to the brass, right on down to the iron. He that now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way, then shall the wicked one be revealed. You realize you're the only thing that's keeping the devil back right now from taking his throne on the earth. He must be under such anticipation. He's waited for all these years. But he can't do one thing as long as salt is here. Because salt aggravates him. Salt gets in his wounds and it bothers him bad. So when the salt is gone, the devil sets up his kingdom. Oh, let us be salty. Hey, let's sing together the song we sing. You've got to move. You've got to move. When the Lord gets ready. You imagine Martin Luther, he studied and got to look at the book of Romans. Got to studying about God's grace and thought, my, this is not what I've been taught in the church. This is not what I believed all of my life. The grace of God that would reveal to us that just shall live by faith. How is it that's a penance and a Hail Mary and a Holy Father and a this and that and the other? He took it, he wrote it, he couldn't stand it no more. So he takes it up and knocks it up on the door. He's 95 theses on the door of the church. Man alive, you imagine if they'd had YouTube in that day, everybody out there videoing him, you nut. What in the world's the matter with you? Oh, we're going to have the young turkeys to look at you, and we're going to have the vultures and everybody else to pick your bones. And man alive, your Pope himself is going to do this and other. But Luther couldn't stand it. Why? God was moving. God was moving. Amen. It was probably against his better judgment. His flesh probably said, you better not do that. You better not do it. But something kept moving on Martin Luther. Thank God he did. Thank God he did.
Hallelujah. You imagine when they brought him out there and boy, they threatened him and we'll do this, that, and the other. And Luther said, there's nothing more I can do. Will you recant? He said, I will not. Here I stand. Do with me what you will. Here I stand. Glory. I join my allegiance tonight and say, here I stand on the baptism of the Holy Ghost, on the new birth, on water baptism in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, on Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Here I stand on these truths. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Well, you may be high and you may be low. You may be rich and you may be poor. But when the Lord gets ready, you better get your shouting shoes on. Cause you got a move. Well, you may be a Baptist or a Methodist, a Church of God or a Presbyterian too. But when the Lord gets ready, you're gonna move. Amen. Well, you gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move. Well, when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. Everybody now. Has fallen in and he's stinking, don't you know? But when the Lord, oh, Father, God ready, oh, Lazarus, move. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. How did he move? The voice of the resurrection. Hallelujah. How many of we took over in that graveyard? How many have we buried in Kingsport? How many have we buried in the different parts of the Tri-Cities? But one day, the voice of the resurrection will start moving. And he'll call. Brother Alan McKinney will answer. Brother Cecil will answer. Your daddy will answer. Your mama, your loved ones, they'll answer. Oh. And you'll be standing there brushing your teeth or combing your hair. And you'll look in the mirror. Well, there's mama. You better get ready, because you're fixing to move too. You're fixing to move too. You know it won't be long. Hallelujah. Oh, when the Lord gets ready, you gotta. You may have been a Baptist and sat in a dried up pew. Didn't believe in worship because you didn't have no wet, did you? But when the Lord got ready, you had to leave that Baptist church. You had to. Woo! I feel like running a little bit. Amen. You might have been a Pentecostal and thought you knew so much, but one day the word of Malachi 4 came down and gave you an Elijah touch. And when the Lord got ready, you packed up your bags and you moved. The children of Israel have been in the land of Egypt 400 years, bound in slavery. They cried so many, many tears. But when the Lord got ready, Israel had to move. You imagine on the way out, somebody's got a coffin, a lead coffin. The body's embalmed. Some little old young'un said, "Daddy, what's that?" "It's Joseph." Joseph knew he was leaving one day. And he said, "When y'all leave, don't leave me behind. When y'all move, I want to move with you." That's why I feel, brother, when this bride starts heavenward, don't y'all leave me. Don't you go nowhere without me. Don't you go nowhere without me. When y'all leave this world, I go with you. You gotta move. You gotta move. You gotta move. Oh, when the Lord gets ready, you gotta move. Well, you may be high. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's pray together as we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for your presence, Lord Jesus, for your truth. Oh, Lord God, I know I'm going to be moving that day, whether I'm in the grave or whether I'm alive, because I'm following the moves of the pillar of fire now. So I know the rapture is only one more move of every day of my life. That's why I'm staying ready. If I find myself wrong, I repent. I see something wrong I'm doing, see something wrong I'm believing, I'll straighten it out. I want to follow that pillar of fire daily, hourly, weekly, monthly, yearly. And then when the change comes, it'll only be one more slight, minute move for my entire life. Oh, grant it, dear God, I pray. If there's one here tonight that's not ready, make us ready, Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight.
Oh, hallelujah. How many loves Him with all your heart? Hey, let's sing together. I love Him. I love Him. Because He first loved me. Thanks be to God. Let's just close our eyes now. Raise our hands before we go. I love Him because He first loved me. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Just my salvation on Calvary's tree. Be no turning back. Let's sing this together as we go. God bless each of you. Service in the morning, 11 o'clock. Let's come expecting the Lord to speak to us again. I hope you enjoyed the word tonight. Praise the Lord. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. Be no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow my Lord. I have decided to follow.